In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Lord has been going through parables, and the church has had us look at them for the last 3 Sundays. Now we move to those parables that are a bit more general about the church herself, and at the same time about the acceptance of that. And so what is often missing in many people's understanding is that the kingdom of heaven on earth is the Roman Catholic Church. There is no other kingdom except that of Satan. There are only 2 kingdoms in this world, the church and Satan. There is no Switzerland. There is no neutral safe ground. You are either serving Christ or you are serving Satan, who is disguised behind things, worldly things. And so our Lord draws it out so that his disciples will understand and so that we would understand. The church is the treasure buried in the field. The church is that greatest of all pearls, that the merchant of pearls sells all that he has to possess it, buy it. The church is the net thrown into the sea of the world. And so, if you want to know the distinction between which kingdom you're serving, the kingdom of God or the kingdom of Satan, all you need do is see if your attitude towards the church applies as Jesus says. Is the Catholic Church, as it is expressed to you as parishioners in this very parish church, is this the treasure that's in the field? That you would sell everything you had just to be here? Recognizing that the treasure that the church is manifest first and foremost by the fact that it is the only place, in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, the only place we can rightly worship God, the only place we can be in communion with Christ himself in Holy Communion, provided, of course, we're properly disposed. That sacred scripture, Old and New Testament, that the Catholic Church, contrary to most Catholics who willfully remain uneducated, the Catholic Church is the one to put the Old and New Testament together. No one else. The Catholic Church decided which books were inspired and which books weren't. The Catholic Church is the one that broke it into chapters and verses. It's the Catholic Church's book, therefore it's one of the treasures she possesses. The tradition that was handed down from the apostles, again, Catholics are willfully ignorant, and I stress willfully, because they don't take the opportunity to learn things either through reading or through innumerable classes that are offered. The Didache, extra-biblical, dating back to the 1st century, describes aspects of the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass and the life of prayer consistent with the Roman Catholic Church, because it is her book from the 1st century. Or the great St. Ignatius of Antioch, a disciple of St. John and truly a holy man, died in the year 107. 7 of his letters still exist that he wrote on the way to his martyrdom in Rome. He speaks of what the true church is. In the year 107, bishops, priests, deacons, the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, Christ's true presence in the Eucharist. What a treasure the tradition of the church is. What a treasure the history of the church is. Do you treat it as such? Because if it were worldly treasure, if you knew there was a field out there adjacent to your own property and you discovered a treasure there, I'll bet you dollars to donuts you'd sell everything you had in order to possess that field where you would find that treasure. And yet our Lord is saying this is what the church is. the treasure buried in the field. Her sacred tradition, her sacred scripture, her age-old magisterium. There are those in the church, there are more Catholics from cardinal all the way down that hate the church. Catholic clergy, Catholic laity, I'll wager there are more people that hate the church than love it. More people that are trying to bury this treasure so that nobody can find it or squander it by dissipating it and taking it to the pawn shop, if you will. All you have to do is look at how ugly modern churches are, and you can see that most Catholics, clergy and laity alike, do not believe the church is the treasure buried in the field that must be possessed, that it's worth losing everything to be in that church. The church is the finest pearl that the merchant finds. And he sells all that he has to possess it. This is the reality of the life of the church and her sacramental system. The most blessed sacrament, preeminent. But all the other sacraments are deriving their power from this, the reality of our Lord's suffering and death on the cross. You have her tradition, you have her scripture, you have her magisterium, you have her sacraments. She is the most valuable thing on the face of the earth, and nothing in your life is more important than the church. At least, that appears to be what Jesus is saying. Do you treat the church in this way? That she is a treasure buried in the field, that she is the pearl of great price, the center of your life, the crux of everything, because it is the mystical body of Christ, and Christ himself is the head of the church, no one else. The function of the church is given in our Lord's series of parables as well, the net that is cast into the sea representing the world. The net was a huge thing, and it'd be operated by men in boats and men on the shore. And they'd have these long ropes that they'd attach to the men on shore. And then the men in the boats would take the net out and spread their boats as far as the net would go. There were lead weights in the bottom of the net and cork on the top so it wouldn't sink. And they would lower the net as far as it could go, and then the men on the shore would begin pulling the rope so that as it was moving with the boats, it would catch all of the fish inside the net. And then they could tell by the weight of the net when it was ready, they would take it up, put it on the boats, and then they would separate them. The good fish they would put in the buckets that they would take back with them, and the bad ones they wouldn't. Our Lord's not talking about, by the way, garbage and various other things. He's talking about actual fish, the good and the bad. In other words, men. The church will catch every kind of man. Yes, she will unfortunately catch the man who hates her with a perfect hate. Hates the church because whoever hates the church hates our Lord and hates our Lady. Or the church catches those that are indifferent, could care less. They'd only do the Catholic thing by force of habit. They're lukewarm at best, and they come here thinking they can check the box off and they're going to go to heaven because they went to Mass every Sunday, and they don't do anything else with their faith. It informs their lives in no other way. Yes, the church catches them too. And the church catches those who are just totally wicked and like to exist in the church because defiance. And there are those that the church catches who are cooperating with grace and who by their very nature of cooperating with grace have their nature perfected, and indeed they live a life that is worthy of being called a saint. And in the end, our Lord says what happens with the actual fishermen happens with the angels. They will haul the that ashore eventually. Put what is good into buckets, and what is bad they throw away. Bishops again in their modern translation kind of missed the point on the Hebrew going to the Aramaic that was originally in and then going to the Greek. He is talking about our Lord, truly wicked, impure fish, because there were fish you could eat as a Jew and fish you couldn't. Remember, you can't eat a bottom dweller. So what he's referring to is catfish. The catfish, when the Jews would catch a catfish, they would throw it back in the water because it's ritually impure. It's a bottom feeder. It's ritually impure. Again, the modern mistake that most Catholics make, because most Catholics are actually heretical Protestants in practice, is they believe that holiness comes after you get to heaven. No, Book of Revelation, our Lord makes it clear, nothing unholy gets into heaven. The whole point of the sacramental system, the treasure that is the church, that informs our reason with sacred teaching, tradition, Scripture, which allows us to become holy by virtue of our participation in her sacramental life. This is what gets us to heaven. The reality of the church and her mission on earth. Every layman is a participant in being part of the net that drags in the good and the bad. The fishermen are the bishops and the priests that help them, that put the net into the world and begin the process of calling all back to the shore, calling all to the end of the world that is going to come, either through their own deaths or through the second coming of Christ. So they're ready for the judgment seat of Christ. But it is up to them to be holy or to be unholy. And no matter how they may regard themselves in their own disturbed imaginations and warped consciences, they want to say they're holy. They will know they are not when they stand for the judgment seat of Christ and receive that infused knowledge that lets them know absolutely everything. And they will see how many times they rejected Christ. They will see how many times they were indifferent and never went to Mass, and every once in a while went to Mass thinking it's okay to go to communion when they shouldn't even go near the Blessed Sacrament in a state of mortal sin. They will see when they have lived a life that is unworthy of Christ and the great sacrifice he made on the cross, and they themselves will walk metaphorically into hell without our Lord telling them to, because they will know they chose it. And that's part of the horror of hell. Yes, you have the reality of the pains of the fiery furnace or the lake of fire, as our Lord has called it. Remember all those crazies who will say Jesus, their spiritual buddy, would never send anyone to hell. Remember, our Lord spoke more of hell, Christ spoke more of hell than any other figure in the entire sacred scripture, the entire Bible. Christ is God, he cannot deceive nor be deceived. Therefore, what he says is true, and it cannot be wrong. But part of that pain of hell is that you know you chose it. You will see every opportunity of grace God gave you to become holy. You will see everything you squandered because you were pursuing the things of the world. The money of the world that you thought would give you security till you ideally died in your bed surrounded by your loved ones, and then suddenly you didn't die like you wanted. It was most unexpected. Perhaps you even died pursuing worldly things when you could have been pursuing spiritual things. You will know when you're in hell what you chose. No soul falls into hell by accident. And as some of the saints described hell, it is packed. And it is like souls are stacked like bricks in a wall. There's no room in hell. Souls are stacked like bricks in hell, and they're stacked in the way their bodies will be after the end of all things. And there's no air to breathe, and they're one on top of the other in constant contact and constant pressure. And there's fire all around them, and the demons are torturing them. And all the while, they're so angry at God because God is just and true, and because God did not do what they said he should do. Take them into heaven, even though they rejected him in this life. Make them spend eternity with him when they rejected him in this life. That is not love, that is hate. And God is not such a God. Deus caritas est. God gave the great treasure of the church so that no soul has to go to hell. And that's why Catholics will be judged more harshly than those who don't know. Because Catholics should have known better. That's why it is said in Hebrews, it's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the Lord God. Because that's what happens at Judgment Day, when you yourself are judged at the particular judgment, and you will see every moment of your life, and you will see every time you rejected Him, every time you made the world more important than Him, every time you squandered grace, every time you kicked the church out of your life because it was not a treasure at all, but perhaps even an obstruction. And you went for the shiny baubles that are nothing but useless tin and treated that like it was a great treasure, when all the while you had this truly great treasure, which is powered by the crucifixion of our Lord, which is founded from His side when blood and water poured forth and given life by the Holy Spirit Himself. You made that no treasure at all. And then you expect for the Christ to take you into heaven as though you did things right. No, this is what our Lord is indicating to us. The church is a treasure in the field. The church is a pearl of great price. And in function, the church is the net that is cast into the sea of the world. Every Roman Catholic is supposed to be living in this mindset. Instead of being self-absorbed and always talking about this, that, or the other thing, talking about himself or whatever. If any single one of you found a great treasure and then had legitimate possession of it, yeah, you'd be cautious about who you told, but those you love, you would definitely tell them about the great treasure you had or the great pearl that you discovered. Why do so many Catholics not do that with the true treasure that is the church? The true treasure, the true pearl of great price. Why is it so hidden away and even treated as though it's an embarrassment? Let it not be so among us. Let us be mindful of what the Christ is calling us to. And remember, will follows understanding. That's why our Lord asked the disciples, "Do you understand all these things?" "Yes," they say. "That every scribe who has been instructed in the kingdom of heaven is like the head of a household who brings from his storeroom both the new and the old." Indicative of the reality that he did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And the means by which everything that was prefigured before the coming of the Christ, the means by which all that is accomplished, is through and only through the Holy Roman Catholic Church. And that's why the enemy is assailing it, especially from within at the highest levels. They hate the church for what she is, like so many other Catholics. But we know what she is. Let us treasure her. Let us esteem her. Let us make her central in our lives. And let us practice what we're supposed to be doing, especially you, the laity, being the nets that are in the sea that is the world, to draw all men to Christ, and then He will be their judge, not you. Draw all men to Christ by the way you treasure the church, her teachings, her scripture, her sacrament, her sacraments, her tradition. Do that and live it, and others will be drawn to the church, and then you will have been the net cast into the sea. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
I believe.